or any among you sick, they should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with the oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. And it's with these words that we draw off of as we set the tone and the purpose of this evening, as we are multiple groups from multiple places come together to adore God with the expectation during this season of Advent to have a movement and a work of Jesus in our lives that invokes healing and power and strength, whether physically or spiritually, mentally, psychologically, emotionally, so that we can serve him better. And if we come into worship this morning expecting Christ to serve us, to heal us, then we must come into worship with true hearts and with open hearts. We must not conceal anything in our hearts and minds about that which we need God to heal us from. And for that reason, as you and I enter into the presence of God, I want you to look around you in the front of your pews. You're going to see pens and you're going to see index cards. I want you all to take some of those index cards, take some of those pens, and at the top, I want you to write things that overpower me, or things that have me in its power, power that is held over me, whatever your verbiage is. And I want you to be serious about this. No one's going to see it. No one's going to hear it. But I want you to write out now and as we go throughout the service, the things that you are struggling with, the strongholds, the footholds in your life that are keeping you from giving yourself fully to God, whether that's a sin, whether that's an ailment, the things that have you in bondage. And I want that to be a memory anchor in your heart and mind this evening, so that as we enter in a time of word and table and anointing, that you come pure and honest about what to ask God to release you from. And so you can begin filling those out now as we go, and no one's going to see it, but you have to be honest with God if you expect him to move and work in your life. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to gather in your presence this evening. I thank you for drawing and leading these faithful groups of people, a group of your worshiping community from two different churches and friends from across the community to worship you tonight. And Lord, we come expectant. Lord, we come wanting to see your glory and power work among us in real and radical and transformative ways. Many of us have tasted that and seen that and witnessed that. And God, for your sake, in the name of Christ, we ask that you move and work here. You know who is hurting. You know who is lost and far from you in spirit and soul. And God, tonight, as we lift you up, we ask that your presence work among us and that your spirit touch us, and that your grace transform us. And Father, it's in your Son, our Lord's holy name. Amen. If you're able, I would ask for you to stand as we praise God.
Hello, everybody. Psalms 34:18 says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those that have a crushed spirit. So I just want to celebrate tonight that he is close to us, that he is here. God, we just lift you up. We come to you with worship and with praise, God, celebrating the fact that you are here, that you are close to us even in our hurting, God. And we thank you, Father. We worship you. You're so good. God, bring your peace, bring your healing to our hearts, Father. You are here. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, you're touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, you're turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, you're mending every heart. I worship you, I worship you. And we call you Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, that is who you are. 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 Yes, we thank you. We thank you that you are faithful, that you're a big, mighty, awesome God, but you're also our God. You are my faithful God, and you are close to us. You are close to me, Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. And all our sins and griefs to bear. in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials or temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Discouraged, take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who with all our sorrow shares? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Come our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Yes, thank you, Jesus, for your closeness. Thank you, Father.
Friends, you may be seated. At this time, we are going to go into a time of prayer because we are called as a people of God to take things to God and cast our burdens and cares upon Him. Our prayer for today comes from a traditional prayer from St. Francis. So take a posture of prayer, however that might look for you tonight, as we go to God. Precious Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, not to be understood as to understand, not to be loved, but as to love. For it's in giving that we receive, and it's in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it's in dying that we are born to eternal life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our scripture for tonight comes from Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. As you're able, would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Jesus went into Peter's house and saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Then she got up and began to serve him. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. He drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, so that what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. He himself took our weaknesses and carried our diseases. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen, y'all. That is such a good word. You may take your seats. What I want to do in this brief homily is just kind of give you a commentary and draw out some key points from that text. I realize many of you may not have your Bibles, but you probably know this story very well. And so what this message shows us, what this passage shows us in a beautiful way, is it shows us some things about Christ our Lord and some things about the kingdom of heaven, right? And as those serving under the lordship of King Jesus and those called in alignment with the mission of God to make his kingdom visible, these are the places and passages in scripture that you and I want to pay attention to. This is where our context bridges with the audience of Matthew's day. And so one of my favorite theologians was an Irishman who ended up living in Texas. He looked like Santa Claus. He sounded like an Irishman, yet he's eating barbecue and he's wearing a cowboy hat. And it's just a great and beautiful sight. But that man passed away earlier this year. But one of his lasting legacies was helping Christians understand who God is better based on what God has done. You see, he understood God to be an agent that has effected salvation in the world to reconcile his creator to himself, who is the created. And what Willie Abraham said is you best understand who someone is based on what they do. So if you and I want to understand the character and the nature and the attributes of God, the triune God, God who is Father, God who is Son, God who is Spirit, what we have is this precious revelation of these 66 books to reflect on what he has done, right? And we know what he has done based on what he has given in Jesus and what he has sent in the Holy Spirit. And when we see Jesus in his public ministry in this text, we see something beautiful happen. We see Christ make the kingdom visible where he's going. And it's a visible kingdom of power that is directly confronting and overthrowing not only the spiritual forces of darkness and evil, but confronting and overthrowing all that has gone wrong in this world that creates and leads to brokenness. He heals the woman with the fever. He heals all those who are sick, and he casts out the demonic and Satan and evil from these people. But what's beautiful about this is we see Jesus both going and effecting healing, and we see people out of faith both bringing the sick and the demon oppressed and afflicted to Jesus, and Jesus effecting healing. You see, Jesus comes to us and works in us. But you see, we can also help bring others to him so he can continue to work in their life, whether it's for salvation, whether it's for healing, whatever it is. And if you notice in our greeting and call to worship this morning, as I read from the end of James, as James says, let the faith heal the sick. It's not the faith of the sick, church. It's the faith of the elders. It's the faith of the leaders, right? And as a worshiping community, we're called and enabled and equipped to lift one another up in faith with expectation and confidence that God will bring healing, that God will bring forgiveness. And Jesus comes, and as we bring people to Jesus, he still works. But the last most important detail that I want you to take away is once Jesus healed the fever, what did she immediately do? She immediately got up and began to serve him. She was healed and then began to serve the Lord. When you and I come to faith, when God brings us to faith and regenerates our souls through the Holy Spirit's work, what are we called to do then? We're called to begin a lifelong of service, a lifelong of preferring and desiring God over all things in this world as he grows us in a deeper love of nothing but him that can't help but overflow into everybody that we reach and make contact with. And the derivative consequence is, as we make contact with the world, they make contact with Christ's love. As Christ takes more of us and we become more of him in this world. You see, when God crosses our path, whether it's for our salvation, for the restoration of our souls, whether it's an ailment, a physical, a mental ailment, our response should be a response of adoration, should be a response of love, based on the love and the mercy that was given to us to make us whole and well. And you see, as we're in this season of expectation, as we're in this worship service, expecting God to do something miraculous within us, where we're hurting, where we're struggling, where you have those sin bents, where you have those addictions, where you have that real physical or emotional pain, whatever it is that you have that is keeping you in bondage, that is on those index cards, and I hope you take that exercise seriously. I hope that you write it and see, and that you're honest with yourself, what's preventing you from giving yourself fully to the Lord. Whatever's on those pieces of paper, as you seek healing, as you seek hands laid on you, your intention and your desire shouldn't be for you. Your intention and desire should be that you are freed to give yourself more to God, to be released, to be freed, to be healed, to greater glorify God. And you see, that can kind of be hard for us because we want to be pain-free. We want peace. But the reality and the truth of it is that we were created to glorify God. And as we seek God and as we call on God's namesake to do that, that's when he responds most powerfully and most deeply in our lives, when we come from a place not of for us, but of you, for you, Lord. That's where we see God work. That's where we see ourselves be able to get out of the bed and to serve him. And so whatever's on those cards, whatever's weighing on your soul, your body, and your mind, as we enter into a deeper movement of seeking God to heal us, to release us, to free us, I exhort and I encourage you, come from a place of contrition and repentance to seek that healing and freedom so that you can fully serve and glorify him in all that you do. And I promise you, from that place, you're going to be caught off guard at what he does in your life. And so with that word, church, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the movement and the mission that you've done for thousands of years to work a plan through a man and a family and a tribe and a nation, and then through your son, and now as your people. God, that movement of your salvation shows how deeply you care about us. It shows what you're willing to do, even suffering death on a cross, to make what has gone wrong right, to bring healing and restoration and freedom to the people that you love, so that we are no longer children of wrath, but children of you. And God, we thank you for what you have provided. We thank you for the revelation we have. And God, I ask and I pray that your Spirit does something within the hearts and souls of all those who have gathered in this worship service, God, that you bring them to a place of honesty, God, that you bring them to a place of wanting to be freed and healed so they can finally be for you and all that they do to glory your name and to glory your presence in this world. And God, it's in the name of Christ that I ask that you do that here. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's continue to adore God through prayer and songs.
Thank you for your wholeness. Thank you for making us complete in your love as seen in your Son, Jesus Christ, and the outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here tonight. There has been so much healing that has been asked for, and we pray that it will follow us out these doors tonight and into our lives as we continue on in our day-to-day, that we remember the healing that has happened, the healing that has been asked for, and the healing that we know will come according to your perfect will. Thank you. We praise you. We adore you. And we give our lives to serve you and only you, no matter what else may come. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, you are sent. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to go in wholeness, in completeness, and in healing, because as God has healed you, so we are able to go and extend healing to others that we might meet, who might know Christ and who might not. That is what we are called to do. Go in peace.